First Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You ever have a brother or sister who is just annoying, immature, difficult to be around? How about an adult child? Do you have an adult child who's just annoying, always needs someone to bail them out of a situation because they're just not responsible enough? No, don't raise your hands. Sometimes we just want to say to our brother or sister or to our adult child, just grow up, right? Grow up. It's cute and understandable when a young child doesn't act in a responsible way, but at some point, it's just not cute anymore. Is that right? It's downright weird and disturbing when children don't grow up and take responsibility for themselves, self-feed, eventually learn how to care for others, maybe for their own family, their own children. There's supposed to be a natural progression of things in life. Children are supposed to grow up. They're supposed to become more mature and eventually become responsible adults. And when that doesn't happen, well, life and society doesn't happen very well, does it? Well, the same is true for our spiritual lives. There's a natural progression of things in the spiritual life, too. But it doesn't always coincide with somebody's age. There are plenty of older adults who are very immature, spiritually speaking, and yet there are many teens that are very spiritually mature. There are older adults who still cannot self-feed on Scripture, and they need spiritual truths to be spoon-fed to them all the time. While at the same time, there are young people who not only self-feed on Scripture, they have their daily devotions, they pray on their own without having to be told, they serve others on their own without being forced to do so. They're self-feeding, mature followers of Jesus. Some young people are more so than some older people, so it doesn't always coincide with or go along with our age or somebody's age. But followers of Jesus need to grow up too. It's not cute and adorable when an adult follower of Jesus behaves in a spiritually immature way. In fact, it's downright weird and disturbing. But we acknowledge that there is a spiritual progression of things, and we must be patient with one another because we are not all at the same place, right? We're not at the same point in our spiritual growth and maturity in life. Some are just exploring the faith and asking a lot of questions. Others are newborn Christians, and they have no idea yet what it means to act and behave in a Christ-like way. They're figuring it out. Some are further along, and they feel close to Christ, and yet others say that are Christ-centered. They're ready to die for the faith at a moment's notice. We're not all in one category or one point in our spiritual growth, so we do need to be patient with one another. But there is biblical expectation for growth, that growth should indeed happen in the life of the believer. We are not meant to keep drinking from the bottle or being spoon-fed all of our lives. At some point, we should be self-feeding on God's word and having quiet times, devotions, praying without someone telling us to pray, things like that, right? Self-feeding, mature followers or disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he is complaining. He's writing a letter to the believers, the church in Corinth, and he's complaining, saying, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as a people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not still worldly? And in Ephesians 4, 12 to 16, Paul speaks of believers who are, Paul speaks of believers who are growing up and becoming more mature in their faith as they use their spiritual gifts that are for the purpose of to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there's a continuum of maturity that the Bible talks about. There is a not mature state of being for a believer, or an immature state the Bible acknowledges, and some believers get stuck there for a long time for various reasons. And there is a more mature state of a believer that believers are called to attain or work toward. In other words, the Bible's telling us to grow up, just grow up. So Paul continues. During the week, that worked perfectly. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The goal is to grow up in Christ, to become mature, self-feeding followers of Jesus. And Peter's letters are no different. In 2 Peter 3:18, well, you might have to advance it for me over there. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in our reading today in 1 Peter 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The hope is that an individual believer and the church together would grow up in their salvation, because this might mean more knowledge, growing up in your knowledge, your understanding of what God's word is. It might mean growing up and becoming more secure in your faith and what God has done for you in Christ, and becoming more mature in your relationship with God and with one another. During the More and Better Disciples Conference I went to this last winter, we covered the survey called the Reveal Survey that was done by the Willow Creek Church and the Willow Creek Association. You see, they wanted to know as a church if all of their frantic activity was doing anything, because they quickly would plug people into certain programs and service and small groups and whatnot, and they wanted to see, was all this activity they had going on really doing anything? That is, in their words, was it helping people to love God more and to love people more? And what they found in this survey that was done by a top-notch marketing firm was disturbing, is that all of their activity wasn't necessarily or automatically helping people grow in this way. Well, as Reformed Christians, we could say, of course, it's the Spirit that needs to help in this. And they would say yes to that as well, but also what can we be doing to help people grow spiritually as a church? And so I want to quickly take you through some of the categories this morning where people were placed along a relational or a spiritual continuum based on the answers they gave to a number of questions. And this is Renaissance Church. This is just a sample of one of the surveys that have been done. And it's been done by a number of different churches across the denominational spectrum. Some 10,000 samples are from CRC churches as well. So these are four different categories, relational categories, a continuum, if you will. And the first one is exploring Christ. I believe in God, and I'm not sure about Christ, and my faith is not a significant part of my life. I'm just trying to figure all this out. I have a lot of questions, asking lots of questions. The second category is growing in Christ. I believe in Jesus, but I'm working on what that means. I'm getting to know him, right? I'm getting to know who Jesus is and what that means for my life and whatnot. So I'm growing in Christ. You see that number is pretty large, and that's pretty common for a lot of these surveys that are taken by churches. Some churches take these surveys maybe once every 3 or 5 years to get a sense of where their church is in relationship to Christ and to look at where they may improve or set goals for the following year. Third category is close to Christ. I feel really close to Christ and depend on him daily for guidance. And the final category is Christ-centered. My relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. It guides me in everything that I do. You're willing to die for the faith right now. I have a Christ-centered life. So those are just four different categories as we acknowledge the growth in maturity that the Bible expects us to grow into. And so the survey has four different categories here of spiritual catalysts, because the question was, well, how can we move people along or help move people along, acknowledging the Spirit is doing its work too, of course, but we also acknowledge God uses means. How can we as a church help people move along? So some of the catalysts that we're talking about, these different movements to move from exploring Christ to growing in Christ, from growing to Christ to being close to Christ, from being close to Christ to being Christ-centered. So we're going to look at beliefs and attitudes, organized church activities, personal spiritual practices, and activities with others. So core beliefs and attitudes critical to spiritual growth. You see these from moving from Christ, exploring Christ, to growing in Christ, believing salvation by grace, the Trinity, believing in a personal God. Christ is first, authority of the Bible. And if you're going to go from growing in Christ to close to Christ, some of the same things, personal God, salvation by grace, the authority of the Bible, Christ is first, I know my identity in Christ, I exist to know and love and serve God. And if you're going from close to Christ to being Christ-centered, you're ready to give away my life. I risk everything because Christ is the most important thing in my life. Christ is first, my identity is found in him, the authority of the Bible, stewardship, and that sort of thing. And then we have organized church activities that might help as well. Serving in the church, weekend services, small groups, you might start there. If you want to continue to grow, you're finding adult education classes focused on a spiritual topic. And you're going close to Christ, to Christ Center, you're doing more to serve those in need through your church, and you're seeking out additional training sessions, you're going to prayer retreats on your own, things like that. Again, self-feeding as you grow on these stages in this continuum. Six personal spiritual practices that might help advance spiritual growth. Of course, reflection on Scripture was huge. Bible reading, prayer, seeking God's guidance. It goes from occasional to frequent. And going from growing in Christ to close to Christ, your reflection on Scripture is frequent. Prayer is frequent as well. Tithing, you're learning to give 10% of your income away. You're spending time alone with God in quiet time. And Bible reading is more frequent as well. And then if you're going in from close to Christ to Christ-centered, your reflection on Scripture is frequent to daily, and spending quiet time with God. Same thing with Bible reading and prayer is daily. Tithing and prayer for seeking God's guidance. Now, spiritual activities with others that advance spiritual growth, seeking spiritual friendships, evangelism. And now their definition of evangelism is interesting here. I had 6 or more meaningful spiritual conversations with non-Christians in the past year, right? That's all it's saying. What evangelism is talking to non-Christians and having a spiritual conversation. 6 of them in a year's time. We are doing more and more of that. If you're growing in Christ and trying to become close to Christ, you're serving those in need on my own, it says. You're not just waiting for the church to do something. You're serving people in need on your own. You're having spiritual mentors. You're asking somebody who's grown further along the continuum than you have to walk with you in your faith, in your walk with Christ. And from going from close to Christ-centered, again, evangelism, sharing your faith. You want to give it away. You want to have those spiritual conversations. You want spiritual mentors serving those in need on your own. So those are the four categories of a spiritual, relational continuum that this survey has helped helped a lot of churches, actually, to find out where they are and where they might need to make some changes or adjustments or adjusting their education or things like that. So spiritual growth and development over the years is a natural phenomenon in life, but people get stuck at certain stages, or they just willfully remain ignorant or distant from God and the church. Where are you, I would ask? Where do you see yourself? Just exploring Christ? You believe in Jesus, but you're not sure kind of what that means or who Jesus is? Do you feel close to Christ? Are you feeling Christ-centered? Think about where you fit along that continuum. For remaining ignorant or distant from God and the church, it can leave a person spiritually immature and uninformed, stuck in the old patterns and lifestyles that are not honoring of God. So how do we move? I think first from our scripture passage this morning is to change our cravings. So we look at, as we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, though, we remember the bigger picture. Remember that what it says in chapter 1, verse 3, that in God's great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in verse 8, it says, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Peter then encourages us to have an alert and sober minds that are prepared for action, to be holy as God is holy. Remember that? Be holy as God is holy. We are redeemed from empty ways of life that are handed down to us from our ancestors, verse 18 of chapter 1, and then verse 23 of chapter 1. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. This is grace. This is what God has done for us through Christ. He's done for you and me. We have been born again. We have this new life in Christ. So when we get to the therefore of chapter 2, we know what it's there for. Since you have been redeemed and born again, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. If you remember last week, and we read from 1 Thessalonians about controlling our own bodies, it said, learn to control our own bodies in ways that are honoring to God. Well, we're told by Peter to rid ourselves of these vices. That's what we do. That's what we need to do, rid ourselves of these vices, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, slander of every kind. These are old patterns, old ways of life. They're not just fitting for a child of the king. These are immature, spiritually immature ways to live. Some may believe in Christ, but they're still hanging on to old patterns, right? And some do for a long time, old habits. Poor attitudes, filthy and harsh language. More and more I hear believers using filthy and harsh language. So Peter tells us to crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We must change our cravings from the things that destroy life and tear others down, that violate God's commands, that harm community and the cohesion in community. That is, rid ourselves of the spiritually immature practices and behaviors, attitudes and mindsets. The pure spiritual milk that nourishes spiritual growth would include things like knowledge of God, the grace of Christ, prayer, understanding of the gospel at a deep level, obeying the word of God, worship in community with fellow believers. In other words, crave the good stuff. Change your cravings, desire to learn and to desire the things that help you grow closer to Christ. Rid yourself of all those things that put a barrier between you and Christ. Good, healthy, and God-honoring habits come from good desires, good cravings. If you desire to please God, it'll change the way you behave. So change your cravings. Change your desires. Desire the word. Desire the word. And secondly, this morning, we are being built together with other believers into a spiritual house, dwelling, or temple. And in your translation, you may have that. Could you advance the slide for me? There we go. In verses 4 and 5, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Once saved by a good God through Christ, we are then drawn into the community of believers called the church. God's gathered holy people. We become part of a spiritual house or temple where God lives and through whom God works and moves in the world. Coming to the living stone of Christ does not cause us to become hermits, to live in isolation, or just to run away from everybody whom we might disagree with, but instead, coming to the living stone, coming to Christ, draws us and compels us to join in community together with other believers. Joining Christ means joining the body of Christ, the church. Naturally so and organically so. It's not just a metaphor, a mere parable. Joining with Christ, aligning ourselves with a living cornerstone, means physically and officially joining a group of believers in the church as an official member of the church so that we're held accountable for our spiritual growth. Something a lot of people don't like to hear today, being held accountable for our spiritual growth with others. We need each other to grow spiritually. When you learn to live with and serve with and love people who maybe are very different from you and maybe difficult to live with, we learn from that. God is teaching us something. You see, the Bible doesn't know anything about our American individualistic sensibilities. Relating ourselves to Christ means relating ourselves to the church of Christ, his body in the world. So the spiritual house of verse 5 is the church that we are being built into, and it's replacing the Old Testament temple as God's dwelling place on earth. And just as Jesus was rejected by people but chosen by God, so is the church rejected by people, chosen by God. We become a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices with our very lives and our service to God. The faithful find the living stone that is Christ precious, while those who do not believe find Christ as a stumbling stone in their willful disobedience and their refusal to believe. The cornerstone, like in a building, is a major stone where all the other stones, the bricks, are aligned to it. Believers who are trusting in Christ, the cornerstone, are aligning themselves with him, with the ways of Jesus Christ, aligning their lives with him, so that Christ is our cornerstone, our stone of alignment. And to those who believe, verse 7, the living stone, Christ, is precious, because through Christ we are born into a living hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade, chapter 1, verse 4. And we're being built and aligned with Christ and the ways of God into a living spiritual house called the church. And as God's people of faith, we continue God's purposes that began with Abraham and Moses. The church of Christ replaces the Old Testament Israel. In verses 9 and 10, in fact, Peter lists characteristics of the church that are almost exactly like the characteristics of Old Testament Israel. Oh, see, there we go. The church is the fulfillment or the continuation of Israel. It says in Galatians 6:16, the church is the Israel of God. Peter writes that the new Israel of God, the church, is a lot like the Old Testament descriptions of Israel. But you are a chosen people, Israel, a royal priesthood, Israel, a holy nation, Israel, God's special possession, Israel. That's the church as the new people of God in Christ, Peter is saying. Chosen, royal, holy, special. And the purpose of the church is that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy in and through Christ. The primary purpose of the church is to announce to the world the peace and the joy in the gospel good news that Jesus suffered and died and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. And to declare that in Christ we belong as living stones together, being built together into a spiritual house, a spiritual temple where God lives and moves in the world. So as God's living stones, we continue to grow in our spiritual maturity. Hopefully, we continue to grow. We continue to learn. We continue to align our lives to Christ Jesus and his ways. He is our cornerstone, our stone of alignment. So, where are you on the continuum? Exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, Christ-centered. Where are you in your relationship, your walk with Christ? What kind of help do you need to grow up in Christ, to grow up in your salvation, to grow up in your maturity, your spiritual maturity? We as God's people, the church, continue to grow up in our understanding and in our exercise of God's grace in Jesus, that we may indeed be his witnesses to a world that desperately needs good news. May it be so. Would you pray with me? God of power and love, we come to you thankful for all you've done for us in Christ. We come to you as a people who sometimes get lazy and forget to add virtues to our faith or challenge ourselves to greater holiness and rid ourselves of all sorts of habits, practices, mindsets, attitudes that are just preventing our spiritual growth. Remind us today to keep growing. And as we grow and learn and discern, may you make your presence known to each one of us. May we say with the prophet Isaiah, he wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Help us one and all to be humble enough to know that we don't know everything and that there's a lot to learn. We praise you, Father, for your grace, your goodness, your power and majesty. And we pray in your Son's name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to skip our song after the sermon today, so I invite you to stand for the blessing and then our final song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Now, as you leave the sanctuary today, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen.